press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
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 Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, we're going to be talking a lot about love and life tonight.
I know. Or today. A sometimes visited, often passed over part of the drama slug line.
You know, at the inception of drama in 2019, we always were like, oh, it's going to be a great mix of the pop culture and the real. And yeah. I do think we balance it a lot with our guests, but not necessarily with us. Wait, okay, I was describing the podcast to people recently as, think of it as Law & Order SVU. We are your Mariska. And every week is a case of the week.
Uh-huh.
And you get to know us. You know, maybe we have storylines that filter throughout, but we're not the focus of the show. And I gagged myself because I don't even watch Law & Order.
Yeah, I mean, I like that template idea. But I think as the years have gone on, like the show Scandal, it's become more about us than it is about the cases.
Oh my God. Okay. I love that. Mm-hmm. Are you Melly and I'm Olivia?
Always.
I don't know. Your lip quivers sometimes. Like right now it is.
It was. You know what? Invoking Scandal and the dynamics of a Shondaland series is so huge.
I've seen a lot of Scandal cast on Broadway, by the way, and this is where I was going to go with it.
Oh.
You said, oh, to invoke Shonda, to invoke Scandal. Well, Dylan, we need to have a Scandal cast member on the show at some point. I saw Scott Foley in the Thanksgiving play. I've seen Tony Goldwyn in...
He was in Network.
Network. And I wanted to see him in The Inheritance. He would have been great
yeah.
in that
we
role.
Saw John Benjamin Hickey's final performance.
Oh, wig.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I mean, I probably did back then.
Yeah.
But who else did I see?
We saw Kerry Washington in American Son.
How could I forget?
Yeah.
Wait, and Katie Lowes was in Waitress. I did not see her play Dawn.
Shocking. One of the few, you know.
I know.
I wouldn't call it a stunt cast, but one of the few like fun castings they did.
Now, has Darby Stanchfield ever done Broadway?
Okay, I don't know, but what I need to say is, on the famous running list of possible drama guests, I swear to God, you had me add her at one point.
Really?
Yes, or you put her in there and I was like, what? Anyways.
I need to know if she's still out there. She, of course, played Abby, but now
of course.
We're skipping. We did skip over Melly Grant herself.
Yes, she is still trying to hack it on network television. She has been, led multiple primetime series, and not all of them have stuck and run, but...
Well, you know, it can't always be a scandal.
Exactly. But I will say, her and Kerry Washington are still super tight. I still follow both of them on Instagram, and they often post not only on each other's birthdays, but on other days.
We are Olivia and Melly tonight mm-hmm. with Hooch.
Yes, always Hooch.
Right. But anyway, Dylan, you said you're buzzing tonight.
I am excited. You know, we have so much to talk about and catch up on. I love these twin talks so much. And we need to get the elephant out of the room, and I'm going to be a diva for a second here.
You're always a diva.
Okay, well, like you mentioned, Mariska sometimes gets storylines, but this time I want to be the storyline. I got engaged.
I'm gagged.
And of course,
congratulations.
Thank you. Anyone who follows me obviously saw that, but we did reshare it on the podcast page as well, in case there wasn't a whole lot of crossover.
Oh, needed to make sure that, you know, the people that didn't cross over to Olivia Benson's personal page,
mm-hmm.
they're still just on the CSI page.
Exactly.
Wait, oh my God, Law & Order. Anyway, I'm done with that analogy.
I know, we need to drop the analogy.
I'm gagged that you're engaged. I think every day since it's happened, I've texted you, wait, you're engaged.
I know. It's crazy.
I am shook.
It's so fun to look down at my left hand instead of my right hand. And I...
Oh, right, because you've been wearing the ring on your right for a long time.
A long, long time. Yeah, this one, it's not the actual ring yet. It's going to be, Hunter got a custom ring done that wasn't ready in time, which is why I was completely surprised and had no idea that it was happening. Someone did comment on the post that I should tell the story on the podcast. I would rather tell all of my beloved family and friends in person the story. But for those who don't know exactly what happened, how the engagement went down, I do want to share like the highlights of it. Basically, my boyfriend, well, I should say fiance, Hunter and I have been
Oh.
together for 8 years now. And right around our 8 year anniversary, in the week between Valentine's Day and our 8 year anniversary, we'd planned a trip to go to New York City. This trip literally was planned last June. Hunter and I were watching the Tonys. And after Kimberly Akimbo's performance, he said to me, like, I really would love to see Kimberly. Like, next time you're planning a trip far in advance, like, let me know and I would love to go. I did not think anything of it. It was
You
so long ago.
didn't?
I did not think a thing of it. I guess
That shocks
in
me.
that moment, he knew that he was going to execute a proposal in early 2024.
I didn't know it went that far back with his. I didn't realize the trip was planned with that in mind. I just
For him,
thought,
it was.
oh my God,
But for
this is a long
me, but
con.
for totally. But for me, I was like, what are we going to see? What are we going to do? You know, I got excited about planning a New York trip, which is probably my favorite thing to do, is plan a New York trip. Other than
Oh.
record podcasts, of course.
When your trip ends, you text me like that day or the next day, and you're always like, okay, here's what I'm thinking for next time. Like,
Whether I have
literally.
dates solidified or not. But anyway, so we traveled to New York under the guise that it was going to be a fun week. And we'll talk about the shows. We saw Merrily We Roll Along, Sweeney Todd, Kimberly Akimbo, and then a wild card, Spamalot, added in. But
Period, Ethan Slater.
exactly. I thought we were going to also be going to a Drag Race viewing party and going to a Michelin star restaurant and, you know, having a night out with your friends that you always include me with when I visit. The first half of the trip, accurate. Saw the first three shows. We're on our walk to a Michelin dinner when we stopped in front of the Stephen Sondheim Theater. And Broadway fans who love this sort of thing will know why I did what I did. But I did want to see if there were any understudies on at the Sondheim. And so,
This is a detail that I keep
oh my
forgetting.
God, so Hunter in that moment knew, okay, once, and I think he must have planned it. I haven't talked to him about this yet, that he knew that it had to be after 7 o'clock because the show would be starting at seven. And
He knew.
he knew. Okay, so
Yeah,
it was like
we
around
talked about it.
7:30, I would say. Maybe even a
Yeah.
little earlier because people were still being let in to the
We
theater.
were told to gather by
By
7:30,
7:30.
to be
Okay.
there by
That makes
7:30.
sense because when I went in, the lobby was empty. If there was a security guard, and in the Sondheim, the understudy board is on the inside. I went in because I wanted to see if there were any understudies on that night. Classic Broadway fanatic. You know, even if I'm seeing a show or not, I want to know what's going on.
Of Anne Juliet,
Of
of
Anne
Anne
Juliet at
Juliet.
the Sondheim. And the honestly cute security guard, whatever he was, ticket taker, goes, oh, Betsy's out. And I go, Betsy's out. And I turn around and I walk down the stairs, and Hunter was standing there. He had his coat off, which I didn't clock in that moment. And I go, Betsy's out. And he goes, oh, Betsy's out. Oh my gosh. Hey, I love this pink lighting, which, you know, Anne Juliet has that really cute pink glow outside of the theater.
The afterglow, as Taylor would say on Lover.
She would. He goes, let's take a selfie here in this lighting. And we are selfie kings. We do take photos all the time. Usually I'm the one suggesting them, but I didn't think
Right.
anything of it. He asked me to take my coat off. Again, Connor thought nothing of it.
Are you serious? This is weird because we've talked about this a lot in the last week and a half, but not really one-on-one, which I'm kind of shook by. We were just always with people. But
Yeah.
wait, okay, so you really thought nothing of it.
I did not think anything of it.
Oh my
We took the
God.
selfie and then we looked at it real quick, and then he put his phone in his pocket and he like turned and faced me. Oh my God, I'm getting emotional thinking about it right now. And in that moment, I thought, it's happening. It's happening. And, you know, I thought about this moment many times over the last, you know, 8 years because there were a few times where I thought it was happening and I blacked out.
Right,
And so I always
right.
knew, like, okay, when the moment is right, it's going to be right. And it was so right. Like, he proposed. It was beyond my wildest dreams. He actually sang a song to me that's important to us, like a short, like a brief little snippet, and got down on one knee and proposed with a dummy ring. As I mentioned, the other one is still being finished.
A dupe.
A dupe, as you called it. The first thing Connor says is not congrats. Okay, wait, I'm getting ahead. I'm getting ahead. And all of a
I
sudden, I
said
spied
congrats.
from, you know, a distance a photographer taking incognito photos.
I didn't know you
I
clocked.
clocked in that moment, and what I loved was not a lot of people were walking by. It was nothing was like turned into a spectacle. Like, people didn't like applaud or anything like that. Like, it, you and I have seen proposals happen in like Rockefeller Center and Times Square, and people kind of crowd around and it becomes a whole thing. And it still felt very personal and like special. And I literally can't look at you because I'm going to cry when I get to this part. Oh my God, I get so emotional. And from around the corner, it's you and three of my best friends. Our best friends, Isaac, Isaiah, and Poot, and Hunter's three best friends, Scotty, Grant, and Sean, as well as his brother Chase. And Poot was filming the whole thing. You guys came running towards me. I was a blubbering mess. I didn't sob during the proposal. I was a little teary-eyed, but I just lost it. I was...
I've never seen you so shook, but you were in shock. You kept
I
being
think
like,
I was.
You're here. And you kept processing it, like looking at different yes. people. You'd be like, oh my God, you barely looked at me. You barely were like, oh my, you barely even cared. You're like, oh God, I'm here. But you know, other than that, it was just really.
I did, you know what? I think that is fair because you were obviously already in New York.
Yeah.
But it was the people who I, you know, Poot was supposed to be in Austin, Texas. Isaac was in Kansas City. And, you know, obviously all the Ohio people, like.
I know.
What Easy. I, the first thought I had was how? Like, how did nobody blow this? How did nobody get this away? And then the rest of the night was just amazing. Like, the photographer stayed with us. We took a bunch of photos. We went to Schubert Alley, took pictures in front of the Jacobs, which is where Hunter and I saw our first Broadway show together, which was The Color Purple in 2016. And it was truly the most magical night beyond my wildest dreams. And the rest of the weekend sort of followed with surprise after surprise. I'll kind of glaze over the highlights. Hunter had coordinated our parents and his mom and stepdad to come in and
Crazy.
Surprise us for dinner, which was beautiful. And then there was a scavenger hunt that Hunter had organized, as well as a massive sort of like engagement party in like the Lower East Side, where all of like the New York people that he and I both knew could come and celebrate us. It was truly crazy. I think everybody it took them a week to recover. You and I were supposed to record this twin talk.
We were supposed to record like three or four podcasts last week.
Our bodies were broken.
And you know what? We didn't cancel all of them. Some of them, fate intervened and was like, you know what? We need to
because
reschedule.
Because we thought, oh, do we email so-and-so and just say we shouldn't do it? Which we don't do that.
I know. We only did it with one person because we both became violently ill.
Yeah.
The
which
flu...
we talked about on Drama Plus.
Oh, right. Yeah. If you guys want to hear a little quick drive-by episode, we did a leap day.
The unedited tea over there.
Leap day bonus. We're both sickly as can be, but it's funny. It's a funny, funny one. So listen to that. But anyway.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a little nasally too. And I hate when you hear that on podcasts, but whatever.
It's okay. But Dylan, I know it was such a gag. I've never seen you happier. That's what I keep telling everybody who says things to me. And I mean, I didn't like tell anybody that I work with or, you know, stuff like that because I was so afraid that someone, some way, in some place would like let slip that they like already knew you and Hunter were coming, or they knew, you know, people can not be careless, but just, you know, people make mistakes.
So oh, totally.
I'm so proud of our parents because, oh my God, Dylan, they knew longer than me.
But looking back, like what's crazy is they did blow it multiple times. I just didn't realize it. Like our mother is the most heavy-handed, obvious person when it comes to things. Like she would say to me, like last time I saw her, now when am I going to see you again? Oh, it's going to be so long. And like, obviously she knew it was in like 2 or 3 weeks, but she just, you know what I mean? Or things like that. Like
she did that to me too.
She said something over Christmas. She goes, wow, you and Hunter coming up on 8 years must be pretty serious. Like she would say stuff like that. It's like, well,
oh,
and in my head I was like, yeah, right.
That's crazy.
But no one blew it. And you were the last to know.
Well, and then you, but yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It was such a fun secret to keep. And you had said to Poot, he actually sent me screenshots of a text exchange that you guys had where he was talking to you about it or something. And you said, you know, Connor doesn't know anything. And if he does know, he's winning the Academy Award for Best Actress.
Actress.
Right. And that made me so happy.
Did you know at that point?
I knew because, yeah, I knew.
Oh my God. That is a gag. That is such a, I like that I'm still learning things in real time as our listeners are learning it too, but it obviously
to be surprised.
A huge moment in my life. Like I can remember talking to Hunter about this podcast when we were coming up with it. He wrote the theme song, you know, he was there for us through so many of our pandemic Patreon episodes and idea bouncing. And I've talked about him to so many different guests or mentioned him offhand. I think I even mentioned him in the first episode with Krista Rodriguez.
Wait, it made me so happy seeing all of the friends of the pod that we've made through the years commenting on your post. Like truly people that we haven't talked to in a couple of years or that we just talked to last week that were thrilled for you. That made me kind of a little weepy.
Oh, me too. I don't even want to talk about the posting of the engagement photos.
Which there was an embargo for days. Let it be known.
I cried every time I would go to like the comment thread. People who just, you know, really were rooting for us. You know, it's really fun. It's really personal. We can move on from this. But I am still on cloud nine, I will say. Of course, the stress of like people asking when the wedding is and what we're going to do and all this type of thing. The details will come, you know, as it goes on, and it'll be amazing and magical. But we want to just be engaged for now. I'm still getting used to calling him fiance. So it's...
You can't get married until I actually have a boyfriend.
Right.
So...
Oh, do you think that you'll want to bring someone to the wedding?
Oh my God. I've actually not thought about that because I've always pictured myself as like this, you know, solo kind of... I'm trying to think of a good comparison of what I would be, but I mean, that'd be great if I'm in love, but if they're not somebody that I'm serious about, I doubt it because those wedding pictures are forever. Those memories are forever.
That's true.
So I guess we have time to decide.
Yeah. We're not getting married in the next year. I will say that for anyone who's thinking it's happening soon.
Wait, oh my God. Something gaggy happened during engagement week. We were watching Merrily and act two, there's like a scene towards the end/beginning when Frank is getting married to Katie Rose Clark, uh-huh. whose character's name is escaping me. What is her name? Laurel. Tina.
It is.
Anyway, but there's a scene.
Anyway, we need to look it up because that's really
they're
going to
get married. That's so funny. Her mom is like, oh, here's grandma's ring or something. Like there's like a line about like the family ring. And I was like, I thought of you. I was like, oh my God, that's going to be Dylan in like 2 days.
You know, it's funny. Everything I watch. Oh, Beth is her character.
Beth, name. Of course. Oh my God. How could I forget?
It's funny. Like I've watched movies, TV shows, all these things. Weddings are in literally everything.
Oh yeah.
So it like crosses my mind all the time. Like, oh, like, you know,
pick a Grey's finale.
Oh yes. A lot of musicals have weddings in them.
True. Mm-hmm. True. I know. It's great. Well, love is such a, you know, universal theme. People love mm-hmm. marriage. And I did write a company reference on your post and people were messed. I put it on my story too. And people were like, oh my God, Company. Everyone knows Company. You would think they don't know Company. They
you wrote
Company.
You're the next bride.
Yeah. Cause well, I mean, it might be a little while, but technically you are, or you're the first bride really in our friends. Okay. We should talk about some other things. I'm happy for you. I love this. All of this is so amazing. And I'm sure more things will trickle in and out. And if people want to know the real, like step-by-steps, you're going to have to subscribe to our Patreon. I know I'm plugging this, but it's where we joke at the beginning of the episode about this being like Law & Order SVU, but on the Patreon is us. So you hear our lives more. And if you're into it, that's where you'll hear it. Or you could just like DM us. But anyway.
Of course. And I just want to say thank you to everybody for the well wishes as well.
Oh, you're so cordial and fun.
Well, listen, during the week, we mentioned Merrily a few times. We got to see it. It was a gift from our parents for Christmas for us and Hunter. My fiance. Okay, I'm done. And we...
yeah, please stop. I'm kidding.
And no, please. It was at the Hudson Theater, and our dear friend John King, of course, greeted us. It was so lovely to be at the Hudson and to see Merrily.
One of my favorite Broadway theaters.
Oh, absolutely. And I love seeing musicals there.
Me too. Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God. It's such a beautiful space. And Merrily fits in perfectly. And the production's fabulous. Oh, my God.
It's gorgeous.
It's worth the price of salt. Oh, is that the expression?
Oh my God. I think that's the title of the movie Salt.
No. Okay. It's the movie Carol is based on a novel called The Price of Salt.
Yes.
Is that right?
Salt is an Angelina Jolie film, if I remember correctly.
It is. Which yes. I just saw a tweet about today.
Okay. That's spooky as hell. Too.
Okay. Anyway, but... Jonathan Groff in Merrily. I mean, we talk about it. A career defining that he's already, I mean, he's had many iconic roles, let's be honest, but he's beyond.
Yeah.
It's beyond awards. It's beyond recognition. It's
yeah,
just a beautiful performance.
And he rarely misses, if never. So there's scheduled dates on the website that you alerted me to. But if you can go, what I keep telling people is there is the lottery, but also I guess tickets go and drop really low on like StubHub or some of those ticket reselling sites.
You said StubHub, but maybe SeatGeek or something.
If you keep your eyes peeled on that, resellers will drop the price, I guess, really low. So
that's
it is
hack.
Worth it for him, but you stay for Lindsay Mendez and Daniel Radcliffe and Katie Rose Clark, who round out this ensemble. Reg Rogers, like the cast is so
fantastic. Reg. I mean, he's fabulous.
I know. Everyone is so perfectly, you know, fits into these roles. And with the exception of maybe one person, but that's a Drama Plus conversation topic.
And I think we did talk about on Drama Plus, there was one performance that worked stunningly at New York Theater Workshop that in the Broadway transfer, was schmackty as hell, playing to the literal last row of the balcony in a way that was super silly close up. Like,
and seeing it in New York Theater Workshop, maybe this actor didn't think they needed to ham it up as much as they have.
I don't know. I have a feeling I've been doing this role for a long time and how things just unravel as time goes on.
Like a long-running Glinda.
Yeah. I mean, and we were gagged for this person at NYTW.
Not to go Tina Fey on Las Culturistas right now, but authenticity is expensive. And I think that in the theater community, I caution us too far. It's a backhanded compliment because we're saying this person's so amazing, but at the same time, like, they maybe have screwed the pooch in this Broadway transfer.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with critique. And I think the death of the critic is something so dangerous that woke culture has brought to us in a way. And of course, we love being kind. We love almost everything. It's okay to not be totally sold on something. In fact, that's actually a stupid thing to even say. You're not going to love everything. So if you can love a performer and not love a performance or aspects of it, and it's okay to talk about it. In fact, we should be talking about it, because if everyone just loves everything all the time, it's so boring. And I don't want to live in that.
That's the most boring subway ride home from the theater.
Oh my God.
It was so good, wasn't it? It was so good. It was so good. Now, how about now so-and-so? Was that a choice or was that a director's? You know what I mean? It's like
way more fun. And if I had an opportunity to talk to this performer on the pod, I would love if it was more welcome of an environment in general when interviewing artists, to be like, your performance got bigger when you moved to Broadway. Was that a choice? Or is this just something that's, you know, I wish that kind of thing wouldn't throw an actor so much, because I'm sure they're just as happy to talk about other people, but everyone is sensitive, obviously, that it's a hard question to ask somebody because no one wants to be critiqued.
Everyone is sensitive. And let me just say, especially you and me.
Oh God. Literally all the time. Yes. And I can be, of course, swayed in any direction and change my mind or opinion.
Right.
Which I'm just kidding. But I don't know. I think that makes sense.
No, I agree with you and I understand.
Merrily, phenomenal. I think you're right. Lindsay Mendez, she is beyond.
There's something about how she's natural, but at the same time, it's definitely a performance. Like, I don't need to feel like I'm having a conversation with the actor on stage. Like, I want to believe that they're on stage and playing, you know, with others. I mean, she does it all in this show, and the hopefulness, and obviously, like, the device of the show is that it moves in backwards order. Like, the idea of despair to hope by the end, it is so gorgeous.
Oh, and give me chills.
I saw this one tweet, and it's like, I always LOL when people refer to, like, Sondheim as Steve when they didn't know him, but they were like, Steve and Hal would never believe this marquee in Times Square about their sold out hit of a flop. You know what I mean? Like, that whole thing. And I'm like, Steve and Hal would indeed be gagged. This show finally worked. Or as Matt Koplik cautioned me to say, it doesn't finally work. It's just, we're just finally conditioned to believe the material is, we just understand it at this point.
You know? Okay. Interesting.
Which I think is definitely a way of looking at it. Cause even watching it, I was kind of like, oh, okay. Like, yeah.
There is a lot of repeating in a way that I think the audience, maybe because I've seen it twice now, but I think the audience is smart enough to not need to be reminded of everything that's just happened. Like, I don't think it has to be, anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I loved it. Everyone has to go see it. Best revival of the season. Come on.
It has to be.
Speaking of revivals and Sondheim revivals, we also got to see Sweeney Todd.
We returned to Fleet Street.
And girl, what a joy to get to see beloved Broadway performers stepping into beloved roles. And I know that this has been discourse to hell online by the theater avids, but to see Aaron and Sutton, first of all, together and playing these iconic roles, it's so fun to get to see a take on a performance by a performer that you love. What did you think of this return trip to the Lunt?
First of all, one of my favorite Broadway theaters, have to just say, you know, you mentioned the Hudson. To go to two of my favorites within as many days and see Sondheim shows there. This production is near and dear to my heart. I went on the journey of the entire first year with Annalie over the last years. You know, everyone who knows that I work with her. And I was trepidatious about going back because I found her performance to be so perfect and deserving of all of the praise. But I was so pleasantly surprised at the way that the show was so different, but also still so incredible. And Sutton Foster and Aaron Tveit are two of our absolute favorite performers. We rarely miss an opportunity to see them in roles.
Totally.
We drove to Barrington Stage to see Aaron and Company. We saw Sutton at the New Group do Sweet Charity. Whenever these people are attached to a project, we will pay, if we have to see them shine. And Aaron is blowing all expectations out of the water. This whole baritone Twitter discourse that everyone just suddenly... I had a teenage girl confront me at Columbus Children's Theater.
Oh, no.
About how the death of the baritone in theater. And I just stared at her. And I wanted to say, are you in there? Or are you just regurgitating what you read online?
Right.
Because if you actually go to see these shows and feel and experience it, that is what theater is. It is meant to be live performance in front of you. And what Aaron Tveit did, I mean, first of all, a total transformation.
Scary.
Scary, but also alluring. And when his character would crack a smile, you suddenly saw through the blinds into this character, this man who was so beaten down and his whole life had been ripped away from him. And I mean, it's one of the best roles, and Aaron absolutely embodied it and devoured it and sliced it up and
he did.
Put it on a platter.
And you know what? The booty's looking right. So I don't know what he's doing. Maybe it's running up and down those steps to the barbershop, even though we saw him 1 week into the run. But he really did that. He was so good. Oh my God, remember the moment when he kind of slipped on some blood?
During Epiphany, yes.
My heart jumped. I mean, but no, he was great. And you know what I have to say about Sutton? The woman has stage presence like no one else. I mean, I can say a lot about Sutton.
I freaking love her with all my heart.
She's just great. I love her. And
they played so well together on stage.
Oh my God, she's so funny. It was super different from Annalie because she is older. And having her appear a little bit older than Aaron looked as Lovett and Sweeney was a really cool dynamic between the two of them. And I mean, she feasted. She really did.
Yeah.
I have to say, y'all, don't let a Twitter bootleg spoil an entire performance for you because you're missing all the context in the entire planet. Like, you mm-hmm. really are. Sutton was hysterical and fantastic. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean it.
It was such a different take than Annalie, which I think is what was cool about it. And what I love about when productions can run for a long time is they didn't cast someone thinking, oh, you're going to do what Annalie did. It was something different and unique and less horny, a little bit more campy, but
yes,
still, it still really worked. Now, would I have liked to have seen Sutton and Josh and Annalie and Aaron? Yes. I think that those would have been interesting swap pairs, you know. It's like when a high school has the double casting of shows, you know, you can intermix and mingle, but it was great.
We also saw Kimberly Kimbo. Hunter's dream of watching the Tonys and proposing to you came true after watching Kimberly Kimbo.
And all I'll say is no one was okay.
No.
The tears, I mean, my face was so bloated and puffy from all the tears. It was insane.
Well, I'll never forget when you saw it for the first time. At end of act one, they're singing This Time, which is a hopeful, beautiful act one finale. I look at you and you had like a smile in your eyes, but tears. And you were like shaking your head like you couldn't even speak. And I was like, all right,
I can't even
bathroom.
Talk about it now. But all I'll say is I cannot wait to see it on tour and see different interpretations of it.
I know.
Because I think that this show is going to go the distance in regional community theaters. It's going to be so brilliant. And to see a Tony winning actor, to see two Tony winning actors, Bonnie Milligan and Victoria Clark, so in the bag, mm-hmm. was just a delight.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really fun. And then I got to see Spamalot,
yeah,
which
I didn't
was
see.
Something. You didn't see. It was sort of an elective option to anyone who was attending the engagement weekend. And I think six or seven of us ended up going. And I'll tell you what, again, phenomenal character actors doing the damn thing. Special shout out to Chris Fitzgerald, Ethan Slater, and Nick Walker, who, of course, friends of the pod, who all were numbed in the show. Nick Walker playing a really sexy Galahad.
Ooh.
And Ethan Slater playing every single role. And also, no one is talking about, all anyone wants to talk about is Ariana. No one is talking about the fact that Ethan Slater, there's a nude sight gag towards the end of the show where he's fully nude, except for a pair of like flesh-colored underwear.
Oh, mama.
And we always knew the body was right. Well, we always knew the body was right.
Well, yes.
But everyone thinks, okay, well, Ari is eating as well.
Listen, I had the biggest crush on him when he played SpongeBob. And it was even it was just solidified in Assassins. He was so hot in Assassins.
Oh, I can't believe that. Yes, that's right. I missed that one.
I think I told him that he was hot in Assassins when we had him on the pod.
You did. Oh, my God. You did. Yeah, what a charming guy. And
that's crazy.
I have to just say, Leslie Rodriguez Kritzer is doing something so incredible as Lady of the Lake.
Really?
And I think I talked about this with Matt Koplik on his podcast, The Broadway Breakdown, which has been a reference point these last couple pods. But it's hard to not think about Sara Ramirez as Lady of the Lake. That cast recording, the performances that were done, they just created something so spectacular. But what Leslie does is flips it on its head and turns it into something else. And it is so funny and so singular.
I love to hear that because I can't even imagine what you mean. And that makes me want to go see it. That makes me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of pitch you give to someone. You're like, no, this isn't Lady of the Lake like you've seen. This is something totally mm-hmm. different that you need to check out. So I love that.
It's so gaggy, actually.
Wait, I can hear it in your voice.
I can't wait for you to see it. But it was really great. Of the, you know, I saw all revivals except for Kimberly. Merrily and Spamalot being up for Tonys this year. Both fantastic work. It's interesting, you know, when you see when one of the revivals was a flop and then one of them was a best musical winner. And I definitely preferred Merrily, but I think that it's just taste at that point because Spamalot is true, like slapstick comedy. Yeah. Like at times, it's even like toilet humor. Like, but it's funny.
I saw Jonathan Aaron Samuels.
Jonathan Bennett.
Jonathan Bennett. I saw him. I was walking to the gym yesterday, like about an hour before matinees would start, right? Of course, this is on a Sunday. So I was before like Sunday matinees. I saw so many friends. I saw Jackie Cox on my way. I saw Tyler Joseph Ellis on the way. Friends of the pod, I guess. I'm just dropping here. And Hell's Kitchen gays at this point. But Jonathan Bennett, tall, hot.
Well, he was Aaron Samuels. So there's got to be something there.
I know. It was one of those things where this like hottie's walking down the street and you're like, oh, that's a hot man. You know, that's I'm looking. And then it's Jonathan Bennett. And you're like, oh, my God, he really is a good looking.
He is. He was like, funny in the show.
Good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do love Michael Urie. So.
And I could definitely have seen Michael Urie in it.
Yeah. Well. Wow. So any Tony predictions from Spamalot that you want to. Who do you think should be nominated?
I think Chris Fitzgerald and Ethan Slater should definitely be nominated. And Leslie, if there were a chance for like Alex Brightman, who I think just always delivers. He was so good in the show.
But there is not a chance, right? Because he didn't open it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Taryn Killam opened
it.
So.
Is that right?
Yeah. Taryn Killam played it first because Alex was still doing The Shark is Broken.
Now, is this Chris Fitzgerald's Tony? Is he finally going to get a Tony this year?
He should. This is his category. Every single nomination he's had, it's in featured actor in a musical.
I mean, I don't know if Radcliffe's a lock. So we could get a Chris Fitzgerald.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Huge season. But wow, fun. Well, I'm going to go see it soon.
Absolutely. Now, theater, you know, we talk about theater, pop culture, love and life. We talked about love. We talked about theater. Let's do a little pop culture check-in.
Dylan, we have to talk about something pop culture-y that, I mean, this has to be discussed now because I don't know if there's a time limit on this. Where is Kate Middleton? I'm serious.
I need a full Where is Richard Simmons podcast with this one about Kate Middleton. Listen.
That's an amazing idea.
I don't know. But this woman literally, after giving birth, did like that traditional thing where she steps out and greets the audiences from the hospital steps. What is going on here?
I don't know.
If she did have surgery, she should be out and about, right?
The jokes about what she had done.
I know. People saying she got a BBL. Like, it's just so funny.
It's so funny because people say, like, the recovery time that it would take. It's not like, first of all, could you picture Kate Middleton with a BBL? That's just hysterical. God, people are so funny.
I'm not a fan.
She's okay.
I'm not a fan, but I do hope she's okay.
Well, because she was rude to Meghan Markle.
Yes. And I am deep in the pockets of the Sussexes.
Are you?
After watching the Harry and Meghan series on Netflix and having Red Spare.
Right. Well, I mean, they weren't nice to Harry and Meghan, specifically Meghan. And Kate was rude to her and made her cry on her wedding day.
It's true.
You know, we all watch The Crown. There's layers. But where on earth could Kate be?
Like, I mean, she's definitely squirreled away in one of the royal residencies.
She has to be unwell. I bet you she had an illness or a surgery or something that they just didn't want to come forth with, especially with King Charles being ill as he is. So they probably didn't want to like make
And I don't like to speculate on people's health and things like that. It's just not fair. It's very personal. Granted, they are some of the most public figures in the world. But from what I hear about King Charles, it's not looking good. And
Oh,
so
it's so sad.
It's just, you know, a lot happening over there in our beloved London, beloved United Kingdom.
I want to go back. Okay, here's my dose of drama. I wish I could go back to London every single year. Dylan, when we're rich, we're going to do like a month in London. Okay, maybe not a month, like 2 weeks. Actually, a week and a half is too
we
long for
decided
us.
12 days was too long last time.
We need to go back because we need to see Standing at the Sky's Edge.
Which congrats to Joel, who got incredible notices.
Notices. Someone, a listener of the pod, actually was like, oh, I don't know if Standing at the Sky's Edge would hit for an American or in America in general because it's so northern.
Mm-hmm. To that I say, it's interesting to say, I don't like when people say stuff like that. Sorry, am I insulting somebody who said that?
No, I understand where you're going with it, because American stuff usually does transfer really well over there. But I might agree, because I didn't even really know, you know, regional stuff.
Unless it's truly true. I mean, I know it's about like a historical aspect of this northern housing complex and all these things. And how many things do we love that take place in different countries or are from different specific regions? Like, you know, the band's visit being an example. It's true. A tiny, tiny slice of life about something. There might be a slight learning curve, but if the art is good and the music is, it's like it's a Girl from the North Country vibe musical.
Okay. So, but is it original music?
Where the songs don't, no. They're all by a certain artist, and the songs aren't story songs. Like they're not characters singing to each other and stuff, really. They are more like inner thoughts.
Spring Awakening vibes.
Girl from the North Country
interesting.
Vibes.
Yeah, interesting. Ugh, I want to see it. I want to see that. I want to see Tom Holland in Romeo and Juliet. That'd be amazing. What else? I mean, Imelda's doing Dolly.
Yes. There's actually a ton of things that are playing over there, but I can't bring myself to even look at the listings because I just know it'll make me feel wanderlusty as hell.
No.
But, you know, speaking of UK men, I need you to keep your eyes peeled around New York City because new photos did drop of Paul Mescal in extremely short shorts and what can only be described as a crop top hoodie at a street corner, being a boy with his hand down his waistband. And I mean, my God, the world stopped.
Dylan, where is he? Where is Kate? And also, where is Paul? Because he's in my town and I need to find him. He looked so slutty and cute in that outfit.
Wait, but didn't I read also that he's now filming that movie with Josh O'Connor, also from The Crown?
The Crown connects us all. Yeah. Apparently that filming has commenced according to film updates on Twitter. So I need to know. And it's
the most reliable source.
It
out
is
there.
A gay movie and I'm fine with it because I want to see them be gay together. Paul just loves saying yes to a gay role, doesn't he? He really is feeling it. Everyone watch All of Us Strangers.
No one gets mad. I kind of hope that those outcries stop about those things because acting is acting. We're getting representation more and more as time goes on. And I don't want to be selective about what I'm going to raise my fist at.
Yeah,
but
I'm torn on it a little bit.
We've actually had this conversation on the podcast before.
I'm sure we have. We've been doing this show for so long that I'm like, I wonder if historians will go back and, you know, pick up on things we've said. Her historians, that is. But anyway, Dylan, we didn't even get to half the things I wanted to talk about. So Patreon it is. We're going to have to switch over to Patreon, do another bonus episode very soon. But listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, hearing a little bit about our recent theater Broadway experiences and Dylan's Broadway engagement.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm suddenly having that weird like vulnerability thing where I've maybe talked too much about myself, but it's an exciting time in my life. And I am glad that I was able to share it with our listeners and you, because I do feel like it was fun to be able to chat one-on-one uninterrupted by things, but
it was so fun.
We have some incredible episodes coming up with long requested guests and gaggy people that you're going to be like, oh, I didn't know I needed this. So stay tuned. If y'all aren't subscribed, do it. Give us a nice and give us a nice 5-star review if you loved us. If you didn't love us, don't go on the app at all.
Don't leave a review.
Mm-mm.
Don't weigh us down. But yeah, tell a friend about us. Screenshot your review and DM it to us and we'll read your name out loud on the pod. I just made that up.
But, you're hysterical.
Dylan, you have plans tonight and I can't keep you on the pod any longer. But listeners, thank you so much for joining us for this Twin Talk episode. We love doing this for you. Again, I've plugged it 1,000 times on this episode, but if you love hearing us chat, go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where every month you get bonus episodes where Dylan and I do just this.
Yep.
And you're going to hear about even more of the current event pop culture stuff, because there was too much to discuss on this episode. But
I mean, lots of Bravo, lots of J-Lo, The Traitors, Summer House.
Oh my God. We need to talk about Summer House. Okay. Dylan, thank you so much. Listeners, we love you. We love you. We love you.
And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama.
Drama.